Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Pavla Horáková and we start with the news. The Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has said that the Czech Republic could still hold a referendum on the European Constitution, but not before next June. After a meeting of coalition party leaders on Saturday, Mr. Paroubek said a referendum could be held with parliamentary elections in June 2006, but he added that the most practical solution would be to stage a referendum in 18 to 20 months. The process of adopting the European Constitution by all 25 EU member states has been stopped in its tracks by referendum defeats in France and the Netherlands. EU leaders agreed at their summit meeting in Brussels on Thursday and Friday to put the constitutional process on hold, but did not kill it off. The Prime Minister also announced that he would present a new concept of an information campaign about the European Constitution in 2 weeks' time. He said the campaign leading up to the referendum should not only focus on the Constitution, but also on Czech membership in the EU in general. The main points of discussion on the EU should be the Schengen Treaty, institution of the Euro, using EU structural funds, the Czech presidency of the EU, and the contribution of the EU to the Czech education system. According to Mr. Paroubek, the EU could contribute to the campaign. The chief of the opposition Civic Democrats, Mirek Topolánek, has said his party will vote against a referendum bill that would allow the Czech public to vote on the EU constitution. The Civic Democrats say they see no reason in holding a referendum on the ratification of the European constitution. The other opposition party, the Communists, say the government must divide the money for the campaign leading up to the referendum among all the different opinions on the EU. The Czech President Václav Klaus said that after France and the Netherlands rejected the European Constitution, holding a referendum in the Czech Republic is unnecessary. He added that any referendum would only be a public opinion poll and not a meaningful referendum under the Czech Constitution. Mr. Klaus also said he was not surprised by the failure of EU negotiations on the EU budget for the 2007 to 2013 period, but he did say he believed a compromise would be reached. A 29-year-old paraglider pilot sustained serious injuries on Sunday as she fell from a 10-meter height during a paragliding training course near the town of Karlovy Vary in West Bohemia. The woman was rushed to hospital and doctors say her injuries are serious but not life-threatening. And now the weather. The current sunny weather should continue in the next couple of days, with daytime temperatures rising to up to 30 degrees Celsius in Bohemia and 33 degrees in Moravia. I'm Pavla Horáková. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and I'm David Vaughan. In a short while, Pavla Horáková will be joining us to look through some of your letters and answer your questions in Mailbox, this week with letters from as far afield as the United States and India. Then Brian Kennedy will be reflecting on his recent return from America in Letter from Prague. And in Czech books, we meet the young writer Magdalena Placová, who tells us why she doesn't want her writing to torture people. But first of all, over to Pavla with your letters.
As every week, we are here to read from your letters and emails and reply to your comments and questions. First of all, let me remind you that the deadline for sending your entries to Radio Prague's annual listeners' competition passed on Wednesday. The contest is now closed and none of the entries that have arrived since Wednesday can be taken into consideration, I'm afraid. We received a whole lot of your answers from all over the world and all six Radio Prague language sections are now busy reading them and voting on the best ones. Thank you very much for taking the time to send us your views and memories of Czech beer. But on to other mail now. Mr. Lindley L. Becker from Florida in the United States has sent us this question.
If you could please answer this question, it would surely settle a huge debate. In English, people from Paris are Parisians. People from Rome are Romans. What do you call people from Prague?
Well, although neither dictionaries nor the spell check on my computer recognize it, one can come across the word Pragers, especially among the expat community in Prague. In Czech, the word is Pražan or Pražák in colloquial speech, so it would make sense to have a short one-word term in English too. On Radio Prague, we usually refer to them as Prague citizens. But we'd like to know what you, the listeners, think about the terms. Which one do you prefer? Please let us know. And Margaret Mlali from the US has sent us this greeting.
My father's grandparents came to the United States from Bohemia in 1880 or thereabouts. Radio Prague is the closest I've ever come to it. But I have so enjoyed the tone in what you write. It sounds familiar to me. I know the Czech love of learning and of laughing. Even though I've never visited your country, I know it from the inside out, looking back at it through the lens of three generations. And one day, I hope I'll be able to visit, to find the other side of my heart, and I hope loads and loads of people who look like me.
Thank you very much for those nice words. And Mr. Srikanta Nandi from India has two questions regarding Czech history.
Who wrote the national anthem of the Czech Republic?
The Czech national anthem, Kde domov můj, or Where is my homeland, recently celebrated its 170th birthday. It comes from the opening scene of the opera Fidlovačka, composed by František Škroup, a strong advocate of Czech national music at the time, and the lyrics, and in fact the whole libretto, was written by Josef Kajetán Till. The opera was first performed in 1834 in the Prague Estates Theatre and played an important part in the Czech national revival movement. Translated into English, the lyrics go, "Where is my homeland? Where is my homeland? Waters murmur through the meadows, forests rustle all over the rocky hills, spring blossoms glitter in the orchards, paradise on earth to look at. This is a beautiful country, the Czech country, my homeland, the Czech country, my homeland." Was the Czech national anthem, Kde domov můj, or Where is my homeland? And Srikanta Nandi's second question is,
when did the Czech Republic join the United Nations?
For the answer, I went to the UN's official website. Czechoslovakia was one of the 51 original member states of the United Nations who signed its charter on the 26th of June 1945 at a conference in San Francisco. It officially became a member when the United Nations officially came into existence on the 24th of October 1945. When Czechoslovakia split up and ceased to exist on the 31st of December 1992, the Czech Republic and the Slovak Republic, as successor states, applied for membership in the United Nations. The Security Council, on the 8th of January 1993, recommended to the General Assembly that the Czech Republic be admitted to the United Nations membership. So the Czech Republic was admitted on the 19th of January of that year as a member state. Thank you very much for your questions, and in turn we have one for you. The lucky winner who answers it correctly will get a CD of Czech music from Radio Prague. In the 1930s, an alternative typewriter keyboard to the QWERTY keyboard was invented and patented in the United States by a man of Czech origin. The man, who was born in 1894 and died in 1975, used his extensive knowledge of linguistics and body mechanics to create a simplified keyboard which was supposed to speed up typing and reduce the typist's fatigue. The mystery man has the same surname as a world-famous Czech composer who was actually his distant relative. Please send your answers to us by the end of June to the usual address, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or English at radio.cz. That's also the address for your questions and comments. So do let us know what you think about our broadcasts.
That was Mailbox, presented as usual by Pavla Horáková. And I can't wait for next week's announcement of the winners in our beer competition. And now to Brian Kennedy with Letter from Prague.
I returned to Prague this past weekend after a three-week tour of the eastern seaboard of the United States, my first vacation in a long while. It began with a class reunion in Washington, D.C., where I spent my formative years. As I haven't yet gone bald or grown fat, I was more than a little curious to see who had. Call it Revenge of the Nerd. Now, if you don't get the reference, don't worry. Only Americans of a certain age would remember the Nerd series of films. They came out in the late 80s. Later installments were strictly straight-to-video fare. But I digress, as well I did at the reunion. Perhaps it can't be helped. From the nation's capital, it was on to New York City, the one place in America that still feels like home after 10 years of living abroad, in Brussels, the Balkans, and the Czech Republic. As most Radio Prague listeners will know, the Czech national anthem is Kde domov můj, where's my home, or homeland. It's a particularly relevant question for me, personally, now that I am married to a Czech and a permanent resident here, and have a toddler son who has only set foot in the U.S. twice. He can't pronounce the all-important English language article, the, and doesn't see much of a need for it. His home, clearly, is Prague. I moved around quite a bit as a child. I was born in an Air Force base in one state, spent elementary school in another, hundreds of miles away, high school in Washington, D.C., which is not a state, but never mind, went to university in yet another, and took my first real job in New York. My last U.S. address was in New York's Financial District, just off Wall Street, in an 1850s brownstone that was never up to code and is now to be torn down. It was more or less a squat, and my old roommate has only just moved out. Several boxes I packed up and left there a decade ago now sit unopened in another friend's Brooklyn loft. One day I will open this time capsule. But with that New York loft gone, and both of my parents now retired and living hundreds of miles from their previous homes, my homes, Kde domov můj? I live in Prague's historically working-class neighborhood of Žižkov, just across the park and a few grotty streets away from Radio Prague. I know my green grocer, have a local pub and so on, but it is only within the walls of my family's apartment where I am truly at home. The second I step out the door, this is not the case, in the sense of belonging. From 1992 to 2002, the Czech Republic saw the world's greatest increase in the number of foreign residents, I read recently. But the language barrier remains. Of course, there are loads of little homey touches, so to speak, that I sorely miss and was reminded of these past weeks. There is no Sunday newspaper or brunch tradition in the Czech lands, although you can buy last week's New York Times for $16 and make an ersatz day of it. On the other hand, the streets here aren't overrun with monster SUVs, the odds of being shot are minimal, health care is a human right and affordable, in fact, nearly free, and public transport, child-friendly. That's important now that I'm a dad. Just try navigating the New York subway with a stroller, or getting around the average American town without a car. It's good to be home.
Letter from Prague there, with Brian Kennedy. For the rest of the program, we go over to Jarka Halková, who this week explores the literary world of the young Czech writer Magdalena Placová.
Today's Czech books looks at Magdalena Placová, who has in her mid-30s published 2 books, poems, and is author of 3 theatre plays. The plays were very well received, although critics warmed less to Placová's first book, Salt, Sheep and Stones, published 2 years ago. Loosely linked stories are set in Croatia and Prague and reflect on the lives of local people. I asked Magdalena Placová whether she felt the book had been a success, despite the criticism.
I know the people who wrote them because I worked in this literární noviny. I know that it was also personal. These very angry and very ugly, disgusting reactions were to my person.
To earn a living, Magdalena Placová worked as a translator and a journalist. She later became a literary editor of the Czech culture weekly Literární noviny, where she came to the following conclusion.
Czech, especially Prague literary scene, is not very professional in that sense, in the way that friends don't write reviews about each other. There are just few people who do write reviews, and it's all interconnected, and they all have their little enemies and little friends.
The Return of the Friend is the second and so far the last book by Magdalena Placová. It is largely based on writer's own experience.
When people turn 30 or when they approach that age, they kind of feel the need to look back and to look back at their own growing up. For me, I really felt there was one period in my life from 19 to 22 or 23, which was very important, very painful in some way, and that I kind of blocked it out, and that I lived through many very interesting and important things. My first move to this theme was classical kind of psychotherapeutic.
In the story, a young woman, Magdalena, searches for independence and herself. She goes to a special school in England, founded by an Indian philosopher. At the age of 19, shortly after the fall of communism in the former Czechoslovakia, she leaves her homeland for the very first time. Here is a short extract.
And it began to bother me what I would do when I left Fairfield, what I wanted to be. Before the revolution, I'd wanted to be an actress, because there was no point in studying any of the humanities under the communists. But afterwards, acting seemed inadequate. Why learn someone else's words by heart and foist some meanings on them, when now I could speak and write my own words? I got a 6-month scholarship to an American university, and my studies began somehow naturally to turn towards history. Now, at Fairfield, history begins to seem too limited. I brood over philosophy. Maybe that alone would be worth studying. Everything and nothing.
The story takes place in the space of a few years. Magdalena feels enchanted as the world opens up in front of her. Supported by her parents, who spend their best years behind the Iron Curtain, she travels to Switzerland, India and Paris, explores new ideas and meets interesting people.
After my return, Claude was ever more uncertain. He phoned me in Prague as soon as I'd got back from India and suggested he came to visit for a couple of days. I'd completely forgotten that any Claude existed and that I was going out with him. He must have felt how shocked I was by the idea, and it hurt him. We got together again in school, but he no longer trusted me and asked so many questions that in the end I told him about Christopher. He didn't manage to break off with me, but his body did it for him. When we were together, he was constantly aroused, but as soon as it was time to do something, suddenly he couldn't. The more he tried, the more embarrassing it became. Not that he left off, no way. He conquered me like a mountain and almost wept with rage and humiliation. He thought of nothing else.
Magdalena finally comes to the realization that there is no escape and she has to face herself. She returns to Prague, where she struggles a great deal, living in some kind of delirium.
Everything came together in one whole, which I couldn't understand at all. Which wasn't any real whole, because it couldn't unite or be inclusive. There were so many contradictions in it. But there must have been something there, something beyond the wall, beyond that steep and slippery wall in front of which I stood. Some sort of context. When I could read no longer, I ran down the road, down into the wood, where in the autumn I'd found a weasel in a trap. It was spring. The world decomposed itself before my eyes, and its separate parts bored their way into me with unbearable urgency. They mined their way into me, nested there. Painful details. A particular angle of the light. The glint of knives and forks and of glass. Steam rising from the plates. Fruit in a bowl. How full and heavy was that fruit? The weight of things pained me, the temperature of their colours. Buds of cherries sprouting from grey, frozen bark, fragile stalks of grass. I sucked everything in hungrily, in the hope that the picture would come together, but in vain.
Trapped in the city which she loves and hates, Magdalena misses her best friend, Usa. Although they are both reluctant to grow up, they do so without noticing it, and soon fall out. It is time to settle down and come back to reality.
I ran lightly and surely away from that wall, from questions turning in circles. I had unexpectedly discovered the connection. It was in my body, and plainly had nothing to do with thought. I looked around at the sky, the trees. The clouds shaped themselves into pictures, but I decided I would no longer assign a meaning to them.
I'm not this type of destructive author who likes to squeeze people to destroy in his text. I don't like to torture people. I don't like violence. My writing is probably very smooth. It's kind of light, I think, and beautiful, and I would like it to be elegant. I was even reproached for that I'm too much kind of sizzling, that I make it too polished, like set of mirrors. I like this way of writing. I like the style. I like the preciseness and beauty of text. I don't like the sloppiness. I don't like the extra, you know, the superfluous words that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's something that I have from poetry. I used to write poetry, then I stopped because poetry is extremely difficult to write. It's just reduced to the minimum. You cannot, you know, go around the things. You cannot work on it like on a prose. Poetry is something like essence. But I would like my prose to be as much as pure as possible in that way.
Says Magdalena Placová. The Return of the Friend flows well and is a good, relaxing read. There are no bumps, distractions, tragedies, no violence. Just a simple story of a young girl who goes far in search for something that has been at her doorstep all along. But she had to step back to find it.
My approach to writing is that I like or love or I enjoy writing the text. The beginning for me is this process of writing. For my mother, I think the more important thing is what the text is about. I think for her the writing is like a tool which she uses to write about things that she wants to write about. I'm more into the writing itself.
Magdalena's mother is herself a writer. While she is more of a journalist and used to write novels just to keep herself in shape while listed as a forbidden author, her daughter prefers novels and hopes to stick with fiction for good.
The very important thing is how it is written, what is done with it, how to be true. I used to work as an assistant to Petr Leibl, who was a very talented director in theater Na Zábradlí in Prague. He committed suicide. To observe him when he staged play Naši Furianti, classical, old Czech nationalistic play, how to make the actors to say these words, which are totally lie, so that it sounds true. How can he say it and not to lie? And this is something that I think is very important in my writing, to find a form, how to talk about certain things which I want to talk about and not to lie.
Despite her short career, Placová has already been given a label. She is stamped a typical feminist writer.
I came to this gender question or to this question of women writing through kind of extremist point, because I published with this feminist publishing house. Then I was kind of classified as a woman writer. I'm terribly fed up with it. There is only good writing or bad writing. And all these divisions, they are good for theoreticians, I think, for these gender critics. But for person who write, it's such a rubbish question. If you write like a woman or like a man or like an elephant, is totally unimportant.
Was prepared this week by Jarka Halková. Don't forget our address. It's Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. And our email is english@radio.cz if you'd like to send us a letter. I hope you enjoyed today's programme. From me, David Vaughan, and all of us here, goodbye. Svátek, chtěl bych
zvracením a zažívám se dalším hrám se dočkám, až bude vstát mi bohužel. Bratr, první se ztratí se ztratí boka. A to si dlouhý matka hluboká. Kapita!
To bylo moc.
Kdyby mě do lidi dobrá prázdná, tak by ta druhá prázdná zůstala.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.